Good morning, everyone. Thank you so much for calling in today. I'm Molly Block, the press secretary for the Natural Resources Committee. Today marks the 120-day mark of the first ever review of national monuments and the deadline for Interior Secretary Zinke to submit his final report and recommendations to President Trump. Chairman Bishop will give brief opening statements this morning about the review and reforms to the Antiquities Act. Then we will open up the floor to questions. Rob, take it away.
All right. Thank you, Molly. And I want to thank all of you who are joining the call today. Today, Secretary Zinke will be submitting recommendations to President Trump following his review of the national monument designations made under the Antiquities Act. And I think it's first right to thank the president for initiating this review and Secretary Zinke for conducting it. The process in and of itself has fostered a much needed public dialogue over the purpose, limitations, uses, and abuses of the Antiquities Act. And it has also encouraged the level of public input into national monument designation processes. That's a concept that any rational person should embrace. The real issue here isn't about the ability to create or modify national monuments. I mean, five presidents from both parties have significantly reduced previous monuments. Not all presidents have used the Antiquities Act. In my estimation, there's only a few that have actually abused it. But the issue is, Congress never intended one individual be given the power to unilaterally dictate land management policies for enormous swaths of public land. This is about the rule of law, whether we as a country adhere to the clear language and intent of the law, or whether we allow the executive branch to simply make up the rules as it goes along. This is about people as well, and the impact of an increasingly larger and restricted monument designations on the people who feel that their voices and perspectives have been ignored in the process. I appreciate what Mr. Zinke has said and has done in this effort. He has given people more ability to be heard than was allowed when many of these monuments were created. So it is about process. There are outside special interest groups that are spending lots of money to blur the lines between antiquities and other areas of federal land and their designations. I've repeatedly heard groups that are misleading the public that there is somehow this is a conflict between conservation and energy development. Simply not true. There are some out there who are arguing, who are opposed to using the act for purposes beyond its intent, and that those of us who think that it is being abused in the process are sometimes anti-monument or even anti-park, or our goal is to sell off all the public lands. That's also blatantly false. There is a deliberate effort to confuse the public about the differences between a national monument and national park. A lot of people, when they hear the word monument, think automatically of a national park. It's a different concept altogether. Or they think of things like the Jefferson and Lincoln Memorial on the Mall. Those are monuments too, but we're not talking about those concepts. And some of those, I think, are blurred in the dialogue. What we are talking about, and what Secretary Zinke was considering, and what the White House will consider, is the process of creating a national public monument. Now, when Congress debated the Antiquities Act, they originally considered limiting the acreage of national monuments to either 320 or 640 acres. And then in the debate, someone said, well, maybe we might want to have 800 acres at some time. So they said, okay, we won't put a cap on it, even though we all know what the intention is. Instead, we'll simply say it will be limited to the smallest area possible. It was widely understood at the time that Antiquities Act was to be limited as a tool for the president on a limited basis. It was certainly not a wholesale delegation of power from Congress to appoint the president as a dictator or to use executive fiat over public lands. Congress never intended that, and the Antiquities Act that passed in 1906 doesn't say that. Now, if you look at the actual language of the Antiquities Act, you quickly see that it was designated to protect specific landmarks, structures, and objects. And they are to be on limited parcels of federal land that are confined to the smallest area compatible with the proper care and management of the objects to be protected. Between 1906 and World War II, most monument designations were smaller than 5,000 acres. and they were protecting objects of antiquities in areas with clearly defined boundaries. By contrast, the national monuments that were designated last year averaged 739,000 acres. That's more than 47 times the size of those that were created 110 years ago. Now, like I said, when most people think of monuments, they think of iconic monuments in Washington, D.C. They think of the National Mall, like the Washington Monument, or Lincoln and Jefferson Memorials. To put it in perspective, the entire mall is only 146 acres. The entire District of Columbia is just under 40,000 acres. And if you compare those numbers to the size and scope of the last president's clear overreaching use of this authority, his authority, he used his authority 34 times to designate over 550 million acres of land and water as national monuments. That's just under 190,000 acres of land and water walked up for every day he was in office. That's an area the size of Rhode Island that was allegedly protected every 4 years or every 4 days for the 8 years he was in office. The Bears Ears Monument in Utah is 34 times the size of the entire District of Columbia. Put it in further perspective, Rhode Island is double. I mean, Bears Ears Monument is double the size of the entire state of Rhode Island. Grand Staircase in Utah is three times the size of the entire state of Rhode Island. People have a hard time imagining the size of what we're talking about, but that is the reality. Now, critics will often point that many of the Utah's treasured national parks started out as national monuments. It is true, but that does not say the true story of these designations. These designations were significantly smaller and were not politically motivated designations, as has been done in recent years. If you combine all of the size of Utah's mighty five national parks, it's roughly 840,000 acres. Grand Staircase was 1.8 million acres. Bears Ears is 1.5 million acres. In fact, these two monuments, national monuments, are almost four times the size of all of the parks put together. So let there be no confusion in this. This is not about energy. This is not about national parks. This is not about whether there are landmarks or structures or objects that need enhanced protection. That's a false rhetoric. These are distractions. The truth is, the debate is about the process and the rule of law. It's about how we protect our resources, not if we protect them. And it's also about keeping the public trust while accomplishing these shared goals. I have been advocating protection of Bears Ears for years now, and I would develop legislation that would indeed do that and provide co-management, something the last administration promised but cannot and has not delivered. The truth is, the Antiquities Act was created with a noble intention, tailored for very specific uses under limited circumstances, and the use of the Act beyond that intent is clearly beyond the limitations that were placed on the executive branch in 1906. So, what we have here is an Antiquities Act that has been being abused by a few presidents for too long. It has changed and distorted the original intent of the Act. And it's my hope that when President Trump, his actions so far are an effort to realign the use of the law with its clearly intended purposes, because only Congress can permanently prevent future abuses, and they must act to do so. We need to reform the Antiquities Act to ensure that it's being used to protect antiquities, but also that there is public access to these land and public input to it, and it's done in a transparent process, and that's clearly not being done at the present time. So we have to set reasonable limits on the future use of the Antiquities Act, restore it to its original intent. Had the Antiquities Act been used to create monuments the correct and proper way, with the intent of the law, we wouldn't be having this conversation today or this review. But the intent has clearly been violated, and we need to return to that intent and make sure that it is used appropriately. So with that, I thank you for the call. The specifics of what Secretary Zinke will be giving the White House will be given to them today. The White House and the Secretary will announce the details in their own time frame. But what is a takeaway from all of us, and what we all can learn from this, is the process of the use of the Antiquities Act has been abused and must be reformed to turn it back into a tool that can be useful and actually allow people's voices to be heard. With that, I thank you for being on the call. And until more specific details have been given as to what is and is not in the report, I can't add much more to it than that. But if there are any questions you have, we'll be willing to take them now. Molly, we'll turn it back to you, and thank you, and we'll go from there.